صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال حبة من كبر. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, beloved brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and granted each one of us a body and a soul. This is the manner which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates us, where we have an outward body and then we have a soul that is not apparent, it's not visible. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down the Sharia wherein these commands and directives regarding both these parts of the body, human body. One is the body itself. We find the Sharia has come down to show us those things that we can do, we cannot do, those acts of worship that we should indulge in, etc. Then we find the tariqah, the knowledge of tariqat, that is tasawuf, that tells us what are the things that are permissible for us as far as our akhlaq is concerned, as far as our spiritual aspect is concerned, how much fear we should have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah, expressing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having sabr, having qana'at and contentment, and what are the destructive things as far as our spiritual side is concerned. Or in other words, we can mention it this way, that one is the physical health and one is the spiritual health. As far as the physical health is concerned, this is related to the body. Spiritual, physical sicknesses come and affect the body, and we all know what happens, and we need to go and see a physician or a doctor or a person that has some expertise in this field to remedy ourselves. Similarly, there is another aspect, another inner dimension in our lives that many of us sometimes are not aware of, and that is related to the spiritual doctors, that is the mashayikh, those people that have ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that have dedicated their lives in building up a special relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are the spiritual doctors, and they come to remedy these sicknesses that affect our spiritual self. And what are those sicknesses? Sicknesses like pride, arrogance, hatred, having malice, etc. These are spiritual sicknesses that are present in a person. If he's not treated, then we find that this leads to his destruction. These are worse than the physical sicknesses, because the physical sickness will ultimately lead a person towards his passing away and leaving this dunya. And that is the end of the story. When a person passes away, his cancer also is gone, and his kidney problems is gone. Similarly, all the other problems is gone. With death, everything is finished. But as far as the spiritual sicknesses are concerned, then we find actually in reality the disastrous and destructiveness of that is really found after a person leaves this life. A person had yaqeed that was not proper, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll find that will affect him there, primarily here in this world, as well as in the hereafter. Similarly, we find a person had pride, he had malice, he had jealousy, he had love of the world, etc. Then it will affect him in this world as well, but especially when he goes away, in the akhirat, we find the effects of these spiritual sicknesses will remain. So this is why it is important and imperative for each one of us to look within ourselves and to try and go to spiritual doctors to find out what is our spiritual maladies and sicknesses and illnesses and try and cure them. From amongst them, the most destructive or the most contemptible sickness that is found as far as the spiritual sickness is concerned, that is the sickness of pride and arrogance. Where a person wants to establish his greatness, he wants to show his superiority, he wants to show that he is better than other people. And we find that this is a common sickness, like the mashayikh mentioned, this is such a unique aspect of the sickness, is many people don't realize that they are sick, that they have the spiritual malady. Like a person that is mad, is mentioned, that he doesn't regard himself to be insane and mad. In fact, he looks at other people and feels they are mad. They are saying things that is not proper. Similarly, a person that has pride and arrogance, is mentioned, one unique aspect of this pride and arrogance is this, that he is not aware, he is not conscious that he has a sickness. That is why it's all the more important for him to go to a spiritual doctor and to establish whether he has a sickness and what are the remedies of this sickness. The first sin that had taken place, as we know, was of shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded him to bow down and prostrate before Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Then shaitan had began to revolt and go against this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rebelled. And the Quran mentions this in many places. Aba wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. He refused and he outright rejected this order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wastakbara.
and he became proud and he became arrogant. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ
And he disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he became a kafir. So here Allah ta'ala mentions this word, أَبَا وَاسْتَكْبَرَ
He had become proud and arrogant. So this was the first sin. And what happened to him? And what did he do? What did his pride do to him? We all know
he was Azazil, the leader as far as the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. Some say in the jinnat and some say in the farishtas. And he had worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some traditions for 700,000 years. It is 700,000 years. For 700,000 years he has worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then pride had taken over and he became so rejected. عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَةِ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ Allah Ta'ala says, my curse is upon you right up to the last day. Right up to the last day. This is how destructive and contemptible the sickness is, that the person can be on a very, very high pedestal, but when it comes to pride, then he falls in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He becomes rejected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how bad and how destructive and detrimental pride is to a person. And this is the example that had taken place in the skies already before man had come down to the face of this earth. So that this is remains before us, before every person, that we should save ourselves from all spiritual sicknesses, especially this sickness that had made shaitan, who was so acceptable and honorable, made him shaitanul rajim, the one that is accursed, the one that was thrown out from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And further, if you look into the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the verses of the Holy Quran, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many places has mentioned this evil or this evil trait and characteristic of having pride and arrogance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verses that I recited before you, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love those people that are proud and those people that are arrogant. Irrespective of the ibadat, irrespective of the good works that they're doing, but if they have the element of pride in their hearts, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love them. Our mashayikh mentioned that a person can be very pious outwardly, reading his salat, giving zakat, etc. But he is proud and he is arrogant. Then he can forget the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he does not love those people that are proud and arrogant. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah always used to mention, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبْ يُحِبْ comes from the present tense and for the future tense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love that person now and will not love that person in the future as well if he has his trait and his characteristic of proud, of pride. This is how serious it is. And we find in other places Allah Ta'ala also tells us that it had become a means, history-based testimony, that pride had become a means of kufr as well. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا إِنَّا بِالَّذِي آمَنْتُمْ بِكَافِرُونَ When the da'wat was presented to people that had pride, then they began to say that we reject that which you believed in. You believed in the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, we reject that. We do not believe in the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And here Allah Ta'ala mentions the word, he highlights this attribute in them and this sickness in them. Those people that were proud and arrogant, this was their attitude. And if you look into history, you will find the Yahud and the Nasara, the Jews and the Christians, they knew fully well about the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was it that stopped them after recognizing the truth, knowing this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last prophet that was promised on the words of Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam. He had given the good news of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was it that made them reject this belief in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It was nothing but pride. So nothing but pride. And we find also the mushrikeen had not accepted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those people that knew him, the people of the book, the Quran based testimony, they knew him, لَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهُمْ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ A very profound statement from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They knew them as well as how they knew their children. Person does not know his father like how he knows his son. He knows his children absolutely certain, and there's no iota of doubt in his heart and mind that this is my son. As far as his father is concerned, he's informed by his mother, etc., that this is my father. But as far as the son is concerned, there can be no cause of doubt or hesitation, reluctance in believing that this is my son. So they absolutely believed in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and believed and understood that this is the last and final prophet. But they rejected him because of pride, because of arrogance. They didn't want to follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wanted to remain free, and they did not become subjected to the laws of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of their pride. And we find that this was the downfall. They became absolutely deprived of believing in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, we find Allah Ta'ala mentions also the instances of many people that were proud, like Qarun and Fir'aun, etc. An invitation was presented to them, but because of their pride, they had rejected. So as far as the evils of pride are concerned, they are mentioned over and over in the Holy Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us here the dangers of pride, that
لا يدخل الجنة. That person will not enter paradise. من كان في قلبه مثقال حبة من كبر. That person that has even an iota, even pride is equal to a mustard seed, he will not enter into paradise. Now we can imagine how destructive this is. Just a mustard seed. You must have seen a mustard seed. Our students had not seen it. I had to bring it and show it to them because obviously it's not their department of life. They are busy with the kitabs. And when they looked at it, how minute, how small, and how tiny and minuscule it is, they were surprised. But here Allah Ta'ala mentions that this is the, Rasulullah tells us, the disastrous effects of kibar and pride and how detrimental it is. That even if it is tiny as a mustard seed, small iota of pride, a person would not enter into paradise. This is how bad, how harmful, how destructive pride is. Another hadith Rasulullah tells us about hadith Qudsi, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that al-kibriya'u rida'i, that as far as majesty and greatness is concerned, then this is my upper garment. And wal-azmatu izari, and as far as majesty is concerned and greatness and grandeur is concerned, then this is my lower garment. Other words, this belongs exclusively to me. A person's garment is not worn by other people. It is so his, it is his right and his property, and it is so close to him. So these are attributes and qualities that belong exclusively to me. فَمَنْ نَازَعَنِي فِي وَاحِدًا مِّنْهُمَا. Whoever tries to stretch away, snatch away and take away any one of these qualities and attributes. In other words, he begins to attribute it towards himself. He also begins to express his greatness and his majesty. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أَدْخَلْتُهُ النَّارِ. I will enter him into the fire of Jahannam. Somebody writes, قَزَفْتُهُ فِي النَّارِ. I will throw him into the fire of Jahannam. Now imagine somebody comes to take away my clothing or your clothing. First of all, we'll say, what an immoral person that is. He wants to take away our clothing. He wants to take away something that belongs exclusively to us. Then obviously, what will we do? We will defend ourselves and help ourselves and assist ourselves in order to safeguard it and keep it with us. We may use some instrument, we may use some person, we may use some gun, etc., to see that this remains with us. Imagine that person that Allah Ta'ala is likening him to taking away the garments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he begins to claim greatness and begins to claim majesty and begins to claim that he has superiority over other people. So here we found there's a great warning sounded to those people that express their greatness and trying to express their superiority and greatness and majesty over other people. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains to us the seriousness of acting proud or having the quality of pride and majesty and greatness. Further, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one sahabi, when he hears this, then obviously the sahaba used to be concerned. When they used to hear areas of danger or areas within there's benefit and incentives for them, they used to immediately ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and question Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to gain that benefit. So here there was a danger. So they ask, O Prophet of Allah, one person says, Inna rajula yuhibbu an yakuna thawbahu hasanan wa na'lahu hasanan. O Prophet of Allah, a person likes that his clothes must be nice and good looking, and he likes that his shoes must be nice and good looking and neat, etc. Other words, implying that is this pride? Is this the meaning of pride that a person dresses up nicely, he has good clothing or he has good shoes, etc.? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, no, inna Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is full of beauty and he likes things that are of beauty. In other words, if a person wants to beautify himself within the parameters and boundaries of the Sharia and he dresses himself in a nice manner or he has good clothes or good shoes, this is absolutely permissible. Then what is pride? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam further explains to the sahaba and the companions that what is pride? Al-kibru batrul haqq wa ghamtun nas. That kibr and pride, what is kibr and pride? Batrul haqq is to reject the truth. Wa ghamtun nas, and to look down upon the people, to despise the people, to look upon the people with contempt and disdain, this is pride. That is why the ulama have explained there's a difference between pride and vanity, difference between kibr and ujub. Ujub and vanity is this, that a person regards himself as a very good person. He regards and he attributes the perfection he has in him, whatever it may be, to himself. And he regards himself to be a very great person, a very honored person, a very acceptable person, a very high person, but he does not look down upon anyone. And in pride, we find that together with ujub, together with vanity and having good opinions about himself, he looks down upon other people, he despises other people. And together with that, he rejects the truth. When the truth is presented to him, from whatever quarter, he rejects it. He's not prepared to accept. The ulama-i kiram, for example, pass a decision regarding certain matter that this is the ruling of the Sharia, he's not prepared to accept it. Why? Because the ulama have passed it and he doesn't want to accept it because of his pride. He has no proof. He cannot substantiate any reason, he cannot give any proofs and evidence for not respect, accepting it. But just because on the basis of his nafs, he says, I don't want to accept it. And this is not restricted only to the opinion of the ulama. You may be working for somebody, and a person corrects you and reprimands you, or a person directs you towards that which is right. Or it may be your wife, for example, the people of your household, the people, your colleagues, etc. They draw your attention to something that you are doing wrongly, and they present the truth to you, you reject it. All this falls into the category of pride, batrul haq, where a person rejects the truth. The truth is presented to him. Let us look within ourselves. There are so many occasions sometimes the truth is presented to us from a colleague. It's from the alim of the masjid. It's from the person that we're working with. It's from a student sometimes. He says, Ustad, this is done. It's not proper. Because it's coming from him, you reject it. This is not proper. This is a sign of pride. And waghamtun nas, batrul haq, waghamtun nas, and to look down upon the people. To look down upon the people that I am better than that person. And these were the exact words that Shaitan has used. Ana khayrun minhu. In the face of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am better than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And he tried to qualify that, justify that stand of his. This also Allah Pak save us, we find sometimes we become guilty. And then not to accept is one part of it. The second part of it, we try to qualify that what we are doing is correct, and we start presenting proofs to the person. You start presenting proofs to the person like Shaitan. You don't accept the divine order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, I am better than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Khalaqtahu min teenin wa khalaqtani min nar. That you have created me from fire and you have created him from sand. And the attributes of fire is to rise up and is more powerful. And the attributes of sand is still and stagnant, etc. So I am better with the light of this proof. In the light of this evidence, I am better than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Why should I make sajda to him? So when a person does something wrong, then we should not try and justify the wrong. If you rectify it, then we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask for tawbah and istighfar, and repent, and turn a new leaf, and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. When he had eaten the fruit that was not proper, that Allah ta'ala had forbidden him, then he had not stood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mentioned proofs and tried to justify his stance. No, this is the way of Shaitan. So here we find that he began to show that I am better. I am better than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And this here, as I mentioned, one is to think oneself as to be a very good person. And secondly, is to look down upon the people. Now this pride comes into man for various reasons. Comes into man sometimes, man does not think. Sometimes because of his wealth. Person has a great amount of wealth, then he thinks and he sees a poor person, he despises him. He looks down upon him. He looks upon him with contempt that I am better than this person. I am better than this person because I have such great amount of wealth. Now this is a standpoint of a person that has no understanding whatsoever. Because the wealth that has been given to me and to you, it has come from whom? From the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And it is not from my earning and your earning. It is the fazl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has bestowed us upon this wealth. When I have nothing to do with gaining this wealth, how can I look down upon that person that has no wealth? When it is given to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can I attribute it to myself? Very good example is given, is like a parent. He gives one of his sons something, some ni'mat, for example, he gives him a car. And we find that son now is boasting in front of the other son about the car that he has been given. And he forgets the father. He forgets the father giving him the car. The father becomes very angered and disturbed from this, that this person here is claiming and attributing this car to himself, whereas he's taken it from me. And it's not his. And he is boasting about it in front of the other brother. Whereas what was the right thing to do? Express the gratitude that this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me this car, and express the gratitude that has come from my father. Be grateful to the father as well. So the ni'mas that we have, irrespective of what they are وَمَا بِكُمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever ni'mat you are given is solely from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it is solely from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not have a right to despise that person that does not have this ni'mat and look down upon that person. Secondly, this ni'mat is here only temporarily. It is here today and tomorrow it is gone. Thirdly, we find that it is the prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how long that ni'mat will remain with us and how long we will remain here. Sometimes all the ni'mats are there, but we are gone. So a person, because of wealth or because of having a big family of children, etc., he is proud and he despises other people because of this, then that person has very little understanding. And this is the folly of that person and stupidity of that person, that he does not understand things in the proper perspectives. Sometimes we find it is because of the intelligence, the person. I am more intelligent than that person. That person is a stupid person. I am better than him and I look down upon him. Sometimes it's because of his looks. Sometimes it's because of his health. Sometimes it's because of his status in society. Sometimes it's because of his knowledge. He has been given knowledge of deen or has been given knowledge about something. then he expresses his greatness over that person that's deprived of that knowledge. Sometimes it's because of his piety. He's a very pious person. Now he looks upon himself as better than other people and looks down upon those people. Now a question may come into our minds here that these are real namas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wealth, understanding, being pious, etc. Then shouldn't a person express his gratitude regarding this namas? And if he does so, then how can this be constituting pride? How can we say that this person is arrogant in his pride? Should remember, there's one slight thing here to understand, a little thing to understand that put things into proper perspective. Every ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a ni'mat, and we are asked to be grateful for that ni'mat. This will be a sure means of ensuring that ni'mat. But the condition is this: we should attribute that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to ourselves. When we attribute those perfections to ourselves, this becomes pride. That I have this wealth because I've been given this excellence, because of my own kamal, because of my own perfection, because of my own capabilities, because I am such a great person. Then this becomes pride. But if you say, oh Allah, this ni'mat is from you. You have given me this awlad. You have given me this wealth. You have given me this beauty. You have given me this understanding and intelligence. You have given me this knowledge of Islam. You have given me the tawfiq to worship you, O Allah. You attribute this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then firstly, that is not pride, and it won't bring greatness into our heart. We won't think ourselves to be great. We will attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, we do not look down upon that next person. This, as I mentioned, this constitutes pride. When a person acknowledges that ni'mat and he looks down and despises those people, what do we know? That person, what will be his end tomorrow? What will be my end? What has life in store for that person? And what has life in store for me? We do not know. We do not have a right to look down upon any person whatsoever. So here we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us what pride is and what constitutes pride. That is, we attribute the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ourselves. And we cut off that link that this is from the side of Allah. This is the favor of Allah. This is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And together with that, we despise the next person and look down upon that next person. Now another question may arise that obviously, I'm an educated person. This person is not an educated person. Who is more virtuous? Person has education. This person is a sinner in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this person is a person that's an abid, a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is better? A little child will tell you, a person that worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does it mean? Do not despise that person. Do not look down upon that person. Do not belittle that person. It means as a person, do not look down upon him. If he is doing some actions that are not worthy of acceptance in the Sharia, example, stealing, drinking, etc., and doing things that are not proper, then look down upon the sin. Don't look despise the person. Look down upon the action that is carried out and don't despise that person. Somebody had asked one of our mashayikh, how is that possible? That we look down upon the action the person is carrying out and don't despise the person. Beautiful example was given. He says this example of that is like a prince. A prince that has smudged his face or his clothing with some black ink, etc. Then what happens? We do not despise the prince, but we despise that which is on him, that darkness or the darkness or the stain of the ink that is on his clothing or on himself. We despise them. We do not like them. But as soon as that is cleared up, then we hold this person in esteem again, and we have good conduct. We don't despise him because of that. It is that action or that thing, that stain that is upon him, that we dislike. But as a person, we do not dislike him. So similarly here, we do not look down upon the person and despise him and belittle him, etc. This is what pride is. But obviously that action that he is carrying out, we do not love that action if it is disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has clearly defined for us what is pride. Now it is for us to look within ourselves up to what extent we regard the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attribute them under all circumstances to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And up to what extent do we look down upon the people around us? Up to what extent do we respect them? Up to what extent we say that, no, this is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is not lower than me in any way. He is not lower than in any way, because these ni'mat that are given to me is not because of my excellence, and not because of my greatness, it's because of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tomorrow he can take it away from me, snatch it away from me, and give it to this person. He can give it to this person, he can give even more. That is why in the light of this, the mashayikh mentioned to us that we should not belittle any person, even a disbeliever. We should not even disrespect a disbeliever and look down upon him in the sense we belittle him and despise him as a person. Why? Hidayat is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many are there that were disbelievers now? And we find that later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them iman and Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made them the greatest of saints. So it does not behove a mu'min that he should be proud, and he should look down upon the people around him. And the mashayikh have mentioned many such signs of pride. They have also mentioned the ways a person should cure himself from pride. And the easiest method, as I mentioned, is to go to the spiritual doctors, those people that specialize in this field, and ask them to remedy us if we find this pride in us. And it's very, very simple for a person to ascertain and to disdain between ascertain what amount of pride he has. As I mentioned, the Mashayikh have mentioned great signs of pride. And the Mashayikh, as I mentioned, very simple way is to see up to what extent do we attribute the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ourselves, and up to what extent do we attribute the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, and up to what extent we respect our brothers around us, irrespective of their status and their position in the society. Inshallah, we'll continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.